Hello, you're listening to Me and Paranormal You with your host, Ryan Singer. Because it's more fun to believe.
Hey everybody, welcome to another experience of Me and Paranormal You. This is your buddy Ryan Singer, and I got my buddy with me back again, my buddy Dan Lindholm of Big Truth. It's bigtruth.com, right, Dan?
No, it's Big Truth on YouTube, Big Truth on Facebook.
That's right.
I don't have a .com.
That's right. Big Truth on YouTube, Big Truth on Facebook. So Dan, obviously, if you listened to all the, especially my Bigfoot centric and my investigation centric chats on the podcast, you understand that Dan was, you know, one of the team members down in Florida a year and a half ago almost now. Wow. I mean, I guess a year and a half ago now.
Yeah.
And we had that conversation, I don't know, a handful of months back, so you can go back and listen to that. Thanks for joining me again today, buddy.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks a lot for having me back, man. It's always great to talk to you, Ryan, buddy. I love you, man.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about today. Because there is a lot going on in the world, Dan Lindholm, and as far as the investigation world goes. And I think people will be fascinated to hear the story of a recent investigation that is ongoing, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, sir.
And
for that reason, you know, so the specifics are going to have to be a little vague, because, you know, it is an ongoing investigation, but I will be able to at least give topics that are being investigated per se, and maybe kind of like subtopics of those things without getting into real specifics. You know what I mean? So yeah. I can maybe reveal some things without jeopardizing the investigation. Let's say, I hope.
Okay. Well, we're going to peel back the layers and we're going to see how far this onion goes today. like, we don't have to talk about the location and we don't have to mention the other people involved. If those are some of the limitations, we want to put this, on this from the outset. But for those who are listening and are wanting some more paranormal Bigfoot talk, well, guess what, baby, you're getting it. Today. And the never the two worlds shall meet seems to be a real thing of the past when it comes to the connection between paranormal and Bigfoot. And Dan, you've been open to this and the connections that go into this for quite some time. You and I were the ones doing the straight up, if you want to call it, paranormal investigation in Florida, in the abandoned rundown house that was on the neighboring property. And there is a video currently on Big Truth on YouTube. If you go to YouTube / Big Truth, you can see the mini documentary called Purgatory that is going to, that this interview is about, and that references the same events and the same things happening, right? That video is public, correct?
Yes, sir. And that's on Big Truth YouTube channel. And I guess we'll just get into it. Purgatory, I called it Purgatory because this site sits and it's nestled along the Purgatoire River. And they call it Purgatory because this is in Southern Colorado. It's not in France, but it's spelled like Purgatoire. So that's where the name comes from, Purgatory. All right.
Okay.
That's as close to of a location as I'm going to give.
Well, it's a great name because I think many of us feel like we're in purgatory when it comes to the disclosure and the discovery of Sasquatch and potentially what a paranormal connection to the cryptid could mean. What does it all mean for us, and what can we even know, and something I'm focused on recently in my research and studies have been knowing what we don't know and the disclosure of the unknown, as opposed to focusing on the disclosure of what do they know and they're not telling us. I'm more fascinated by what don't they know that they're not telling us. And if I had to make a guess, I currently am siding on the side that says, guess what? Anybody else who's got high clearance levels, security access, top secret access, all this kind of stuff, they also don't, in my opinion, probably know what the hell is going on here with a lot of these things, as can be indicated by our experience in Florida and the information that we were given by the homeowners in regards to some of the conversations they've had with the researchers that go out there outside of ourselves. So for me, purgatory seems like a perfect fit as a guy who was raised in Catholic schools, that in-between state, right? And that speaks to liminality, which the trickster loves liminality. A lot of this paranormal phenomena occupies the space of the in-between and the stuck between two sides. And speaking of liminality, I mean, we're still in a holding pattern, not knowing who won the election. I mean, we are in purgatory in so many ways right now. So this seems to be resonating with me in a major way.
Well, I never even really thought of it on that level. I mean, I'm glad you did, because it's fascinating. Everything you just said is just awesome. What purgatory means to me, and in relation to this case, as we talk about it, you're going to find out that a whole lot of it has to do with a certain spirit that we were contacting, you know, and communicating with. And this particular spirit seems to want to remain in that purgatory state and not so much move on to heaven. Okay. So, Can I just get into telling the story, Ryan? Let's just let me,
yeah,
because I'm already
walk
I'm
me
already,
into it. Walk no, me into
I'm
it.
Talking about it. So
walk me into it.
All right. So I've got a friend that I've known since I was like in the third or fourth grade. He's a lifelong friend. He's probably the only friend that I've remained in contact through all these years, all the way since we were little kids like that. And we've never been best friends, but we've always been friends, you know, and it's kind of like he's like my brother in a way. And so he's continually called me over the years as he's had a career in law enforcement. First, he was a paramedic for years and years, and then he got into law enforcement. He was with the sheriff's department. Then he got with the local police department. And so, you know, he's got all this experience. You know, with the way that they handle investigations and reports. And, so he's got a great background to do what he had to retire because he got rheumatoid arthritis pretty bad. And he decided to start this paranormal investigation group. It's UOR Investigations. All right. And it's Unusual Occurrence Report. And the reason he started this thing was, you know, he's interested in, you know, UFOs, Bigfoot, but in particular, he had been on several cat mutilations in his career. And that really interested him. And he had some theories. One of his main theories is that the cows may be being marked beforehand. Like that maybe they wanted a certain cow. So he has this whole idea of trying to run Geiger counters over all the cows and, you know, infrared light and trying to find some evidence that there's some kind of a marking on the cow before it is mutilated. So it's a very interesting way to approach the whole mutilation thing from an evidentiary standpoint. And so this is his theory, and this is what he's running with. And he started this investigation thing, and he's, you know, he's got a limited income and stuff. And man, I got to give it to him. He's got some great equipment. You know, he's got just about everything that you've seen on any ghost show or anything. He's got all this great stuff that he's accumulated over these last 4 or 5 years. And he's got the knowledge to do investigations. and he's got the report writing ability, which you would not believe the reports he's got on this investigation already. We got books. We've got two full books from two separate fingers of this investigation of reports, because every day he goes out, he writes a report just like a cop. So we've got this evidence chain that is bolstered by everything he's done, everything except for one little instance that I'm going to tell you, which is always the way it goes, right? But everything he's done is on video. It's redundancies. He's got two or three cameras going, or audio recorder, or dash cam, body cams. You know, he's got it covered from all angles all the time. And then the big thing for him in his starting this thing up was that he got a psychic. Okay, this is what he always knew he needed a psychic. He thought he's going to get maybe get a psychic to come out one time, you know. And so a friend of a friend hooked him up with this number, and he calls this lady, and, you know, and like he thinks she's probably really busy, and, you know, and he tells her his plan, you know, to go out and, you know, maybe do some psychic readings or something. And she's all, no, I don't want to do that. He's all, oh. She said, no, I want in on it. I want to go every time. And just like that, a match made in heaven was born. So you've got Greg, who's got all this technical equipment and his knowledge of being able to investigate properly with evidence chain and all that. And then you have this gifted psychic on the other side that I'm just going to come out and say it, because this is what she says. She was given this power from God himself. Her mission, what she's supposed to be doing, is helping these spirits cross to the other side. She sees spirits. She can see, she's seen her son come in the church, you know, that her dead son. And she can see spirits, basically, but she can also go into that purgatory place and lead them and assure them and help them work through things so that they can cross to the other side and go to heaven. So this is a real place, and there are lost souls that don't particularly want to go, or don't know how to go, or don't know what they're doing. And the reason God anointed her with this gift was because he told her that there were too many people in this place, too many spirits, and he needed help getting them to cross to heaven. So this is what she does. Now, people talk about psychics and the fact that it's like against the Bible or something like that, you know, and how it doesn't really match the story. Well, I can tell you from talking to her. Now, this is some really interesting stuff, brother, that there's a good reason for that. Because somebody that's given her powers, somebody that has those abilities, will be tempted by the devil. It's inevitable. She had that confrontation with the devil. Wow.
Okay, so you've got a...
She had the temptation of the devil to have powers that no people have and abilities. And that is why it is warned against in the Bible, because the temptation is there for people to turn evil. She resisted that temptation. And the very day she completely stopped an abusive life that she was leading. And now she's doing the work of God. Now, I know people, you know, I mean, technically I'm not, I'm not real religious myself. All right. But things happen and you just go, dang, you know, there, it's a trip that she's got this power and she seems to know things that people don't normally know. And for instance, one time she was helping a guy across. She was leading up the ascension. She says, you do ascend to the light. And she accidentally stepped one step into heaven. And in real life, at the time, she was surrounded by people she knew. She collapsed to the floor like she was dead.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a place you can occupy both spots.
Exactly. So she dropped to the floor, and then she has a thing for water. She drinks water all day long, like water, water, water. And one of her close friends went down there, and she said, "Do you want some water? Do you want some water?" And she said that woke her up. And she came up out of it, but she said that she was dead for a few seconds. And like you say, you can't occupy both spaces. You might be able to get into that middle ground, the purgatory, but us flesh and blood people cannot cross that final barrier. So super interesting, right? Right. Okay. So
yeah, real quick, like it's interesting too, because if I'm not mistaken, water is a great conductor, is one of the best conductors of energy. Right. And so it makes sense to me that she's so drawn to the consumption of water with the work she does. That just, it strikes me as more than coincidental, if not obvious.
Wow. That's an interesting take on that. Yeah. But and I mean, she's a very warm person. She's super nice. I mean, she wants a hug when she meets you. And, you know, she's an older lady. She's not, she's past her younger years and all, you know, she's, also like my buddy, she's, a little bit disabled, can't get around super good, man. What an awesome team. You know, we got two borderline disabled people out here, and I'm telling you, they're literally going to change the world. You guys, I wish I could just tell you everything, but I gotta meter myself a little bit. But okay, Greg's got the psychic now. All right. And they, like I say, they're an awesome team. They're just yin and yang, and they go together so well. So here we go. He gets the psychic out there to this place we're talking about to investigate a cattle mutilation. All right. So they go out there with the rancher, and she starts shaking, and she says the cow was so scared. And I've seen this video, by the way. So it's not just my buddy's word. And then she asked if she can pick up the bone. And the rancher's like, you know, sure, whatever. He didn't give a dang. So she goes and picks up this bone. And you guys ready for it? All right. I'm going to tell you what happened. Now, like I said, this is part of an ongoing investigation. And I'm not supposed to be talking about this, but you need to know. All right.
Well, so we're going to peel back more layers than we thought, it sounds like.
Maybe. Okay.
So I don't want you to get in trouble, buddy. But
here we go. Here we go. So she picks up the bone and she says, a craft came overhead just instantly. There was light that surrounded the cow and boom, the cow was up in the craft, and boom, the craft was gone. Just like that. Okay. So she says then she could see inside the craft and see what the cow was going through. And she said, just whoosh, all the blood went out of the cow. She doesn't know how, but it just all got boom. In a second, all the blood was pulled out of the cow. And then after they did some other things, the ship come back and just dropped the cow. Boom. Now, what people don't realize is that on these cattle mutilations, there's often like a ton of broken bones in these cows. And that's why, because they're just dumped off. Now, here's the thing. When she was seeing what was up there on the ship, she says, Ryan, there's people too.
Yeah, this is where it gets, this is where it goes next level. Not that the, you know, the mutilation of the cattle is in itself in a, you know, framed in a tragic way to a large degree, but now, I mean, I guess I should let you finish to see what's going on with these people, because now this becomes more personal for people.
Yeah. So she says there's people too, and some of them are dead now.
And yeah, that's the fear, as you're getting ready to tell this, that I think myself and a lot of people are probably having. And I think the interesting thing here too is precedence has been set up before she picks up the bone, because in the vetting process of your buddy, she just simply takes the coroner's file, medical right. examiner's file, and now she has information about the case of this person who's dead. We call that it's called clairsentience in the clairvoyant world. That's the specific term for being able to ascertain information from touch that isn't readily available. And so clearly she has a deep clairsentience as one of her abilities. And therefore, logically, to play this out further, it makes sense that she's able to ascertain, you know, the thoughts, feelings, emotions, physical trials and tribulations that this particular cow has gone through on the ship, sees what it sees. And if consciousness exists outside of our body, which has been established scientifically that it does, the cow's consciousness is aware of, is taking in all this information from its surroundings. Therefore, now she has access to it. It's almost like she's time traveling through consciousness here. And so, I mean, I'm on board with being able to obviously get to keep going with this story as far as legitimacy goes. As we already had the seed planted previously that shows how this tree is growing that we're listening to now.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I'm skeptical in nature, but there's been a lot of things that she's done that's just amazing. You know, my buddy also had her contact his dead father, and they had conversations about stuff that she could never have known at all, you know, that stuff from his childhood and stuff.
Also, part of the vetting process that your buddy went through was, I think this is one of the keystone events that happens for people to become, to cross over into the belief side of the equation, when a stranger can give them information that there's no way they know.
Right.
And when you said skeptical by nature, I just couldn't help but think about Naughty by Nature, the band. I gotta make a skeptical by nature t-shirt. I'm down with OPP, Other People's Paranormal. But anyway, okay. So your buddy, he vets the psychic. She has personal information about his deceased father that there's no way she should know. She knows she knows details that are private to the medical examiner. or the coroner, this person, right. When it comes to a deceased person's file, she picks up the cattle bone. Now she has access to what happened to this particular cow as it was abducted by a craft of some kind, had all of its blood instantaneously drained or removed from its body, and then was dumped back off at the site. It is peculiar that these UFOs will drop off the cow back where it came from, whence it came, as opposed to just dropping it anywhere. That is a peculiar aspect of a lot of these cattle mutilation cases, I find.
That's very interesting. They end up at the same ranch. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like if you come in and like you come into somebody's house and you murder somebody, but then you make sure you empty the dishwasher before you leave. It's like, why are you being tidy in such a way when it's a weird, peculiar trait, right?
So, yeah. So she went on a little bit about what was going on. And she does notice the Grays. And they are doing human experiments, obviously. This is nothing to be shocked about, though. It's nothing that started yesterday. They've been doing this for eons, you know. We are probably all part alien. And but they're doing specific things right now to try to do a specific thing. And it just has to do with integrating into us more, I believe. And like, that's like, I don't want to get too specific here because I got to save something for my buddy to reveal.
For sure. And I can just say that from our conversation yesterday, when we were just catching up, that, you know, it's going to be worth the wait, this information. And there is, you know, there's profound revelations and, you know, and people have been sounding the horn about Grays abducting human beings and telling their own personal stories and things like that for, like you said, for a long time. And most of these people outside of the world of the paranormal, for the most part, are considered to be, you know, total kooks, whack jobs, crazy people. And for those of us inside the world of the paranormal and all this kind of fringe research, we tend to have more of an open mind, even if we are more skeptical in nature. And I think at some point in the future, when it is revealed, if it is, that this has been very much a reality going on in the world, it's going to be a great burden off the back of many people. And, you know, a validation of some sorts in many ways. And I was talking to my girlfriend just two nights ago, and about how crazy this past year has been, 2020, this past year. When you have, the best way for me to measure how crazy this year has been is the fact that the government in the last year has, you know, disclosed UFOs, UAPs, and the president of the United States created a new branch of military called Space Force, and which was met with much comedy and mockery when it was created. If Barack Obama would have created Space Force, people would be like, okay, this, we have to talk about this, and we're not going to stop talking about it. Why are we creating Space Force, right? And then UFOs are disclosed. It's like, these are two of the biggest things that have happened. We have a new branch of military called Space Force dedicated to protecting space, right? And people talked about it for 48 hours. I mean, that fucking blows my mind, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely, man. There's been a bunch of disclosures coming out, and everybody's like, you know, with this news cycle the way it is, it's like tomorrow there's going to be another huge thing that fucking knocks you in the jaw. You know, seriously, it's like crazy. It's a crazy world we live in. Absolutely.
I think it speaks to the impending knowledge that what you're laying out in this personal story here, of this research team that you're a part of, this isn't going to be the talk of kooks and the writings of fiction scribes much longer. Do you get that sense?
I hope not, Ryan, because, you know, like I say, I'm skeptical by nature. I've always been a flesh and blood guy. You know, I'm a Bigfoot guy. Just in the last several years, you know, just philosophically speaking, if you really want to have a scientific mind, you also have to be open-minded, you know? And so with this thought of being open-minded, I've stumbled into some stuff over the last several years that is paranormal. It's not normal. All right. And like down in Florida where we ran across the portals, you know, and this is something that it was like an idea. It was like a theory. We went down there and I saw physical evidence with my own eyes of where the freaking portal was, you know. And I'm totally convinced that what I saw was evidence of a portal because it was like a perfectly round circle in the middle, about 3 feet wide. And then 9 feet out, there was about a 1 foot circle of where the vegetation was just less. And you could just see it. You could see it. And when I stood in the middle of that thing and I stuck my arm out, you know, to that other circle, and I just kept my arm at the right same level and I walked in a circle. And my hand never left the circle all the way around. So, I mean, that's not an exact mathematical equation, but that was, it tells you that it was round, you know, and that's just an anomaly in nature for sure, you know, to have something such an obvious evidentiary thing. So that, you know, opened my eyes a little bit. And then, you know, I got like my buddy, Adam Davis, I would trust him with my life, man. And if he says that some little 3 foot dudes came out of this portal, I believe him. All right. And at that time I was like, portals get real, you know, but this is how it develops. The more you learn stuff, the more you investigate stuff, you keep stumbling into this stuff that changes your mind a little bit about what is possible. All right. And then now I got my buddy down here in Colorado. He's telling me, you got to come down here. You got to come down here. And I'm like, you know, thinking, you know, down in the desert down there in Colorado. I mean, yeah, okay, I got to come down there. I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm going to make the trip. You know, it's like, I don't know. You know, he's real excited about his, you know, investigative team and everything. And I'm like, I don't really know that there's, you know, any Bigfoot there or anything, you know. So I'm like, all right. But, you know, he calls me over the years and I kind of acted as a consultant for him. And helped him kind of how to get rolling when he was starting his thing, you know. And then just in the spring, he called me and was telling me about the psychic, you know, and all this. And then they go back out there. And one of the things they're investigating is there's been an extreme number of car crashes right there in about a 2 mile stretch in front of this rancher's house or, you know, on his property. And it's weird because like the rancher himself witnessed an accident and he said that the car came off the ground and then when it came down on the ground, it rolled and the person was killed. And it's like, whoa. And
wow. I don't even know what that means, like really, like as far as like how that happens in a car, quote unquote accident. Like, let's take a quick pause here.
Okay.
And we're going to come back and we're going to get into this and we're going to get into also some other, you know, unlikely connections that may have been made, if we can talk about that, between when you were boots on the ground out there. Okay. So a rancher witnesses a car that was off the ground, drops to the ground, rolls, kills the person inside, tragically. Is there another car involved in this accident?
No, sir.
Just by itself.
Just the car driving down the road by itself. He saw it elevate and then it came back down and crashed. Now, another instance. There used to be a big gas pipe that went across a bridge right there on the Purgatoire River. And, you know, like, I'm sure you've seen, if anything, you've seen in old movies or something where they used to like run a big old pipe right next to the bridge or whatever, you know. And the rancher was talking one day, telling us about, he didn't know how the hell this happened, but there was a truck wreck there. And somehow the truck ended up on top of that gas pipe that was running alongside the bridge. And that's where it ended up. And the driver was still in it and he was killed, and the passenger was ejected and he was killed down in the riverbed. But the rancher said that for the life of him, he could not figure out how it got up there. So, you know, again, just interesting. And then, like I say, like over the last, I don't know, 12 years or something, there's been like freaking 26 wrecks out there or something. It's just an incredible number of wrecks for a straight stretch of highway. All right. So they're going out, they go out there to investigate and see if maybe they can talk to one of the spirits of the people that was killed and maybe learn more about what's going on with these car crashes. So they go out there and she's trying to talk, find somebody. And she sees this girl walk by, a spirit, with this guy. And she said they walked right by my buddy. And she saw him. And next thing you know, she's trying to talk to him. And she talks to this lady. And she's trying to see if she was, you know, one of these people in a car wreck. And the lady's like, no. And then she went on to tell her this story. And she said that she came out of a convenience store and there was a couple women that were feigning car trouble. And she went over to see if she could help them. And she said that they shoved a needle in her neck and she passed out and they threw her in the car and abducted her. And then they drove all the way to this town in New Mexico and met three guys, and the three guys took possession of this girl in this, what we assume is a human trafficking ring. And they take her to this abandoned warehouse and they decide to sexually assault her. Then during the assault, the drugs were wearing off and she regained her senses a little bit and she started to fight. And the psychic seen in her mind's eye the fight, and she said that she fought like hell. She kicked a guy in the throat. She was fighting for her life like crazy. And she took off. She jumped up and took off running. This one guy apparently had a machete and he threw it at her and it hit her and it nearly severed her left arm. So then they had a little discussion and they decided to, that their package was now ruined, and they decided to go ahead and just hack her up. And she was still alive when they beheaded her. And it's a terrible, tragic way to die. It's an awful thing that happened to this girl. And then she said that they put her body parts in these black plastic bags and they threw them in this river where we're at. And so my buddy, you know, he starts looking around and he's looking and, you know, they got this name when this happened, and they couldn't find, you know, anything local or anything with this name. And then just out of the blue, the psychic gets this Facebook freaking invite to a group, and she goes to this group and she says she never even does those invites. She just like, you know, unless it's like a close friend that asked her to or something, but for some reason she hit this thing. And she goes, and it didn't even have like the title page when she went there. It just showed a picture of a missing girl. And it was the one that she saw at the river.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
This and is the name, fucking heavy stuff here.
The name at the top was the name that she had gotten at the river.
Oh.
Now, the funny thing is that the name was the person that posted it. It wasn't actually the name of the person, but that was the way that it was drawn. And then must have been a week later, the psychic, she says that her nephew also has, you know, powers, maybe not as strong as hers, but he has psychic powers. And he came up and told her that he said, "I don't know if this means anything to you, but a woman whispered in my ear and said, your aunt has the right name or the right person, but the wrong name."
Oh, wow.
So then, now check this out. This is going to blow you away too. I live in Eagle Point, Oregon, right outside of Medford. At my work, there's a bulletin board. There's one missing person picture on that whole bulletin board, like back in June or whatever. And I stopped walking down the hall and I just sit and looked at it, because my buddy was just telling me this story about this person that was missing, right? But at the time, the name in my head was that other name that they had. And so I'm looking at this poster, and then I'm like, you know, and then I read the name, and it's like, oh, that's not the name. And then I see that she was missing from Phoenix, Arizona. And I said, oh, that's not right. That can't be, you know, that's too far away from my buddy. So that can't be, that's probably not her or whatever, you know. As I'm looking at his evidence book, you know, he went and basically they found the name, they found the missing person report and everything from Phoenix, Arizona. The last known location was, there was three different places, and all three intersections, there was convenience stores. And so they put all these pieces together, and my buddy is sure that this body is in the river. All right. He's calling up the local authorities and the Phoenix authorities. And they don't want nothing to do with it.
Old case, what?
They're just like, you know, well, we don't have nothing to go on. We're certainly not going to take dogs up there, you know, and just giving him the total cold shoulder. And, you know, my buddy, especially being former law enforcement, he's like, what if I got a call and this somebody had a bunch of the information about a murder, I would at least want to talk to them and ask them some questions. You know what I mean? I mean, what the hell? What kind of, you know, law enforcement work is that? That's none of our business down there. We don't care or whatever, you know? So my buddy Greg, who drives around in a wheelchair inside his house, you know, he can, you know, making a trip to the store is rough. He goes down there and he's in the fucking river looking for this body down there with his psychic. And he tells me this and I'm like, dude, you know, and at this point he'd already told me all this other stuff. And I believe her, you know, through what he said, I believe the psychic. And I do believe there's a body there. And I mean, he believes there's a body there, and just for the closure of the family, you know, to be able to tell those people what happened, or, you know, just to know that there's a body there and not do nothing about it is just, it would be immoral, you know? And, sorry. For me to let him do that would be immoral too. I had to go help my buddy. So I asked my boss if I could have some time off. And a couple of weeks later, boom, I'm going to Colorado. So I get there and, you know, we're making a plan. Dan's going to get down in the riverbed. And basically it's like a floodplain. And then there's a channel where, you know, part of it's rocky, part of it's muddy, and it's only a couple feet deep right now, you know, late in the year. So, you know, that was the plan. I'm going to get there, get down there and get in the river and try to find a black bag, something, you know, a bone, whatever. And just try to bring some closure to this family, you know, and make this and stop this distraction from the investigation that's, you know, that he's really supposed to be doing, which is the cattle mutilation thing, you know? And so I get there and Greg, my buddy, he starts showing me his stuff, you know. It was like the first day I was there and we were down in his basement and he has a workbench and he had everything strewn out on the workbench. And man, it's impressive. It took him a little while to get through all his equipment and show me all of it. It's really cool. He's got K2 meters. He's got infrared cameras, regular cameras, you know, like I said, he's got, you know, the body cams, he's got desk cam in his Jeep. He's got everything going. So then he gets to this thing, it's called a portal. I'd never heard of it before, but he said it used to come all in one unit. It's like a $500 deal. And the guy stopped making them and he turned it into an app. It's also a $500 deal, but you can get the app for free if you can figure out a way to make your speaker reverberate to make it work. And this thing, it's a cool tool. It's kind of like a spirit box in a way, but it plays like these pre-recorded backwards talking male and female voices. And as it plays this, if anything comes through that speaker that you can understand legibly, that's speaking normal, it's a spirit talking. And I don't know how it works, but we're sitting there and he just turned it on. And this is what I was talking about. The one time he didn't have no video running, no nothing, because he's just showing me his equipment, right? He turns it on and this thing, well, like I said, I didn't actually finish the story. He got the app and then he figured out a way to make his speaker reverberate. He had to get a different app and it took him a long time, but he finally figured out how to get it all to work. All right. So he's got this little, you know, his contraption, but it's called a portal. And he starts this thing up and it's just making all these weird noises. And then if you talk, it will also echo back to like your voice, you know, so you can hear yourself coming back. And we're sitting there talking and we start talking. We get off the subject of the portal for just a second. And we're talking about this girl in this case and the psychic, you know, and we're talking about the facts of it. And then I just kind of made a joke. I was like, you know, yeah, but maybe it's all bullshit, you know, just talk, like people think that the psychic's bullshit. You know what I mean? So I just made a joke. Oh, yeah, but maybe it's all just bullshit. Plain as day, Ryan. Like she was standing right there next to us. The portal says, oh, I think not.
Oh, I love it.
Oh my God, Ryan, I was blown away. I was like, what the hell just happened? What the? And Greg, he just like, oh, I better wait until we got the psychic. He turns it off, starts putting it away. He's all, yeah, we don't want to do that right now. And I'm like, what the hell, dude? That was crazy. That was plain as day. It was like clear, crystal clear. Like she was standing right there. And he's all, yeah, that's probably her. That's probably, you know, this girl. She's probably here. I think she's been here. And I was just like, thinking, you know, my skeptical self, I'm like, dude, you got a, like 100-year-old house here. It could be a spirit from freaking the 1920s or something. You know what I mean? It doesn't necessarily have to be this girl that you're looking for, but it was the weirdest thing, Ryan. It's like for the next day and a half, 2 days, I could feel something on my shoulder. I could feel like weight and a presence on my shoulder. And it was kind of creepy, but it was okay. I was just thinking maybe it was a physical thing or something weird. So then the psychic comes and I meet her and she's going to stay several days because I'm there for a week, you know? And so she says, oh yeah, she's been hanging out with you guys. And I'm like, oh God, really? Seriously? And I told him, man, I could feel her on my shoulder, man. I swear. It's so weird. You know, and then she said that, yeah, she likes you and stuff. And I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, and I mean, I'm married, Ryan. I'm not going to cheat on my wife with a spirit or a, or anybody. But, you know, it's like, and the psychic even told me, she's all, well, it's no problem. It's okay. I mean, she's dead. And I was like, you know, well, all right, I'll play along. I'll just play along because, you know, I want to elicit some kind of response from the spirit. You know what I mean? I want to help this process along if I can.
So even like, if you got to flirt a little bit to do it, huh? Right.
So, you know, so anyway, then this brings us to, I went out in the river. I was out there. This is actually before the psychic showed up. I was out there all day in the river, or not all day, for a couple hours. And I went several hundred yards down the river and didn't have any luck at all. And when I came up out of the river, my buddy had started up the portal with his tailgate down back there. He started the portal up and he was trying to, you know, hey, can you help us out? Well, you know, where should we go? Should we go further? Should we stop, you know, go back? Do we go too far? And it seemed to say, follow me, like several times. And it was like, whoa, that's a trip. And I think, you know, she was trying to get me to keep going maybe, but that was not by any means as crystal clear as it was down in the basement. You know what I mean? This was more mixed, garbled with the other speak on the speaker. So not as clearly evident, you know, but you know, still something. So we get the psychic and we're going to go out there that night. All right. And my buddy's cool. He's got the laser grid set up and, he's got all his cameras, you know, he's running one nice camera the whole time. And then he's got another handheld and, you know, I got the K2 meter. He's got another K2 meter on a stand and we go out there to try to talk to this girl and the psychic's, you know, talking to her, but you can't get her to come close enough to make the instruments do anything, you know? And she said that she's here, but she's keeping her distance, you know? So we're talking to her and talking to her, trying to get her to come over. And Greg, my buddy goes, well, make sure she knows that she doesn't have to cross if she doesn't want to, you know, she could stay there here, you know, she doesn't have to. And because, you know, from what the psychic has said that she learned how to travel and she was able to see her kids and stuff. And she was able to travel and do what she wanted. She was a free spirit. So she was kind of happy in purgatory. But the psychic's sure that she's going to get tired of that, you know, because she can't communicate with anybody. You know, she can see them, but she can't talk to them or they can't talk back. You know, they can't hear her. So he says that. And then the psychic kind of repeated it, said, yeah, you don't have to go if you don't want to. And man, right then, after holding that K2 meter for like an hour, all of a sudden it just freaking went on blast. Just boom, 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 boom. I was like, whoa, what the heck? So, you know, what they're missing on these ghost shows is the personal element of it. You know, something that's really, that was something that she really felt strongly about. And that's why it came, why she responded to that. Because she really does want to stay where she's at. She doesn't want to move on. That's something really important. And she's afraid that, you know, being of Catholic religion and having the Catholic grandmother and everything, you know, she's afraid that if she crosses that she won't go to heaven and she'll end up in hell. Basically, that's what we theorize. So, you know, that was really important to her to convey that she didn't want to go. that's what she wanted, you know, and she was afraid that she was going to be forced to do something she didn't want to do through the psychic.
And we know that due to the tragic and horrific nature of her death and what the events that led to her death, this is not a spirit that you're going to force to do anything because of the awful shit that happened to her.
Exactly. So, bam, we got a response and we were elated. We were like, that is awesome. That is so cool. And then we kept on getting responses, you know, she loves the psychic Sue, you know, the psychic was saying she loved her and stuff. And all of a sudden the meter's going off again, you know, and, it's just, it was really crazy. Cause I could also feel her again on my shoulder while the meter's going off in my hand. And I was like, whoa, you know, but, then it was funny. Cause, my friend Greg, he makes this comment. He goes, well, me and Sue are going to be sharing a bed tonight. And Sue's all, yeah, never know what's going to happen. And I go, yeah, Dan's going to be on the couch alone. And that freaking meter just went off. Boom, 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 boom. And we all started laughing, you know, and I'm all, she's giggling right now, isn't she? And the psychic's all, yep. So we're having this good time with the spirit, you know, sitting there laughing and joking. And I mean, it was crazy, Ryan. It was crazy. What we're dealing with here is a multifaceted personality. It's a real person. It's not a one-dimensional thing that just knocks a book off a shelf. You know what I mean? These spirits are the real people. You know, this girl, she's a brat. You know, at one point they tried to ask her how many paces from the bridge. And she said, I don't have legs, duh. You know, I mean, so, yeah. You know, she's a brat. And it's totally a real person that we're dealing with. You know what I mean? It's not just something that came out of the figment of her my psychic's imagination or whatever. You know what I'm saying, Ryan? It's just so evident. And you just watch the video. This is all on the video, the purgatory video that I put on Big Truth on the YouTube channel. And all of this is on video that I'm telling you about now with the girl and the interaction with the K2 meter. And it's awesome. I mean, I think it's totally awesome. I've never been part of nothing like that. I know the only other time I've been on a ghost investigation was with you. And, you know, it was real light activity on that one. Man, this was crazy, Ryan. It was like, it was undeniable interaction with a spirit on the other side. And that's just, who gets that ever, you know?
Yeah, and it speaks to the deep truth that we are not these physical forms, right? And what you said resonated with me when you said these are real people that we're dealing with here. And it just goes to show that truly who we are as people, as these, you know, these timeless entities or whatever we are, like these physical forms that we're currently incorporating are really just, they're like, it's boring to think about us being anywhere close to identified by our bodies. There's nothing timeless about our body at all. And that's really cool stuff and emotional stuff. And and I'll be really fascinated to hear updates in the future from you about what goes on with this.
Oh yeah, absolutely, Ryan. Absolutely, man. I mean, this it's kind of become my life's work is to get this story out right now. You know, seriously, I want to. What I've given right now is basically a teaser to the whole thing because, like I was saying earlier, I don't want to give up the ghost. I don't want to like tell a whole story. Cause that wouldn't be fair to my buddy that's put all this time and energy into this thing. You know what I mean? It's his story and it's his investigation that I don't want to ruin, you know?
Yeah. And we'll have to wait for all that. We'll have to wait for all the other stuff. I mean, there's a lot of other fascinating stuff going on in this investigation that we can talk about another time in the future. And, you know, and hopefully get your buddy, you know, get your buddy on the show when he's ready to, you know, talk about all that stuff too. And that'd be a really fun chat.
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. You know, he would love to talk to you, I'm sure. So then it got really interesting, Ryan.
Well, so, Dan, I think we need to...
Are we going to have to cut it off?
We're going to have to cut it off, Dan. And I hate to do that to the people listening right after you say, and then it gets really interesting, right? Like, as if this past hour hasn't been fascinating. We'll have to put a button in it and revisit this later, I think.
I'm with you on that.
You know, and...
Absolutely. You just tell me when.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to do it in the near future for sure. And we'll have to, you know, see what other details we can get out of you without you getting in trouble.
I'm probably already in trouble, Ryan.
Well, for those listening, I love you too, buddy. I'm just going to put this up tomorrow. So for people listening, they can go to Big Truth on YouTube. They can find Big Truth on Facebook, and you can go back and listen to the previous conversation we had. If you go back in to the archives, just search for Dan Lindholm, and you'll be able to find our previous talk, which is another great talk. Always fun to talk to you, buddy. Always good to see you. You're just like me. You're a walker talker.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know how you can sit there.
Well, it's because I can't carry this laptop around.
Yeah,
but yeah. So, anything else you want to say real quick before we go?
A lot of the things I've been saying sound pretty freaking crazy, and I just want everybody to know that I'm not crazy. I am not crazy. I've always had a skeptical mind. I came into this skeptically, and it is incidents, it is evidence, it is facts that has turned me around and got me on the woo train, I guess you could call it. But I do not like that term.
I love it. I love that term. I love that term, and I'm glad to be sharing a cabin with you on the woo train, my friend. We're just picking up speed. So cool. Well, again, buddy, love you. Thanks for chatting. Thanks for sharing this the details so far of this great story that you're in the middle of. We appreciate it, and you know, look forward to hearing more.
Thanks a lot, Ryan. Thanks a million, man. It's been fun.
Always.